midst of his suffering, his intense suffering. Chapter 1, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And then the previous chapter, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then he went on to say, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So Job continues his discourse from chapter 23 on here into chapter 24. And you remember how we've seen in many of the chapters how Job's supposed friends have been rebuking him, if you will, or accusing him, blaming him for his suffering. I think Job has now decided to use the truth against them here in chapter 24. So beginning of verse 1, Job says, why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks, they violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless, they take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way, the poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of a shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheep from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their wine presses and suffer thirst. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters, their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow water, so doth the grave those that have sinned. The womb shall forget him, the worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. He evil entreateth the barren that beareth not, and doeth no good, not good to the widow. He draweth also the mighty with his power, he riseth up, and no man is sure of life. Though it be given him to be in safety whereon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? So, those that rebel against the light. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word and the many blessings we've already received out of this book. Pray that that will continue tonight as we contemplate this age-old question about the blessings upon the wicked. And Lord, may it just renew in our hearts a trust in you, as Job did. And so have your will and way in our hearts. May you be pleased and blessed by our service and our time in your word, and use us tonight, Lord, to glorify you as we allow it to speak to our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So you can see that Job is now, he's said in chapter 23, though he knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows what he's doing. God knows why he's trying me. He knows that it's not chastisement. He knows that it's not because of sin, but he knows that God has a purpose. And he's trusting the Lord. But now He begins to address this philosophy, if you will, that his friends have continued to put forth. And that is basically the same philosophy that the world has. And that is that if you're blessed, it's because you're right with God. And if you're not blessed, from a worldly point of view, it's because you're not right with God. Many have called it prosperity theology. It's rampant among Christianity today, this teaching that if you're right with God, you'll be rich and healthy and everything will be wonderful. And if you have trials, it's because there's sin that you need to deal with. And that is a basic underlying philosophy of what a lot of Christians live by. The only problem is it's just not true. And Job now is going to try to correct that wrong thinking. First, he's already explained, listen, I know that God isn't punishing me because I know that there's not been sin in my life. He says, but I also know that God has a purpose, and I know that the reality of life is, as he's explained here in this chapter, the wicked get blessed too. And so that's actually just the opposite of the teaching of prosperity theology, isn't it? To where you can have someone who's right with God going through intense trials, and you can have someone who hates God living a blessed life from an earthly point of view. How can that be possible? Well, because that's how it works sometimes. And so Job is explaining to these supposed friends, this is the truth. This is the true situation in the world today. You cannot base how right someone is with God based on their external earthly circumstances. That's the bottom line. Can't do it. You can't look at someone and say, oh, look, they're rich and they're healthy. Obviously, they're right with God. And look at someone else and say, oh, wow, they're poor and they're struggling and they're sick all the time. They're obviously not right with God. You can't do it like his friends have tried to do. And he's corrected that. And you know, Job isn't the only one who's contemplated this question. David and Solomon both contemplated this. So let's look at it. Go to Psalm 37 to start with. And again, what is this question? What is this contemplation? Does God allow the wicked to be blessed here on earth? And the answer is yes. He does. Notice verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So and twice in this psalm, we're told not to fret when we look and see evildoers being blessed. Because God's way of looking at things is much different than ours, isn't it? God could be looking at someone and saying, I know that in 5 years that person's going to get saved and they're going to go to heaven. And, let's be real, if God blessed each of us based on our complete obedience to the Word, would any of us ever be blessed? No, because we disobey all the time, don't we? In our thought life, in things that we should have done and didn't do, things that we do and shouldn't have done, we sin all the time. Does God bless us? All the time. So we have to be careful about the philosophy. And that's what Job is saying, and now David is saying it. So now let's see what Solomon said in Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. God says it is wrong to look at someone's physical earthly blessings and envy or be jealous of that. It's wrong. He says don't do it. Just trust God and fear God. Proverbs 24, verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. How many times are people attracted to others, not because they're right with God, but because of their earthly blessings? Maybe they're wealthy, or maybe they have a lot of earthly goods, or maybe they have a really good personality, and people are drawn to them for the wrong reasons, not because they love the Lord, but just because they're that kind of person. God is saying, don't do it. You know, David said that he was only a friend of those who feared the Lord. And we need to be the same. And the thing that we don't understand is when God looks at it, God doesn't see time like we see time, does he? And when we look at someone, we say, well, today this isn't fair because that person's getting blessed. But if that person spends forever in hell, is that punishment enough for their sin? Yes. So God sees the whole picture. Then he looks at us and says, well, that person needs some more refinement. That person needs to be made more like gold. So I'm going to allow a trial in their lives. But do we get to go and spend forever in heaven with Jesus? Yes. Do we get a mansion? We get to see the river of life? Yes. We get to see all of that and spend forever with the Lord. And like the Bible says, when all that happens, if you go to Romans 8:18, we're going to look back and say, it was nothing. Now, while we're in the middle of it, time is very important to us in this current situation that we're in, and it feels huge. But in Romans 8:18, Paul expresses it this way. And by the way, Paul had every right to give his position on this, because Paul went through a lot of suffering. And Paul was, most of the time, right with God. One of the greatest church planters that ever lived. He said here, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So I think what Job's teaching us and what God is trying to teach us through Job is don't base anything as far as your perception of people and their hearts and their situations on their earthly circumstances. We can't do it. And that's what Job's trying to tell his friends. Here you guys show up. You tell me it's all my fault. You tell me my kids deserve to die. And none of that's true. God knows what he's doing. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So the first thing that he's correcting them on is this wrong prosperity theology, philosophy. And it is absolutely backwards from what the Bible teaches. So we can't do it. And as we can see, don't be envious of the evildoers that they get blessings. If they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. And that is very sad. So let's go back to our chapter. And he's basically now summarizing them, talking about the world, the unsaved. Verse 13, they are of those that rebel against the light. So Job is essentially saying that there's a group of people in the world that aren't part of his crowd, which are people that love the Lord and believe they're going to spend forever with the Lord because of their faith, who rebel against the light. So, what a good description of the world, huh? So let's go to John 3 and look at the New Testament equivalent of this. We looked at this on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago. But again, those that rebel against the light, that's the world, isn't it? The light's available, the light has come to the earth and shined, and men rebel against it. John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This passage is making it clear, which you've heard before, that you can't get saved until you're lost. And to admit you're lost is to admit you're a sinner. You don't need a Savior if you're not a sinner. And so what it's saying is that man would rather stay away from the light because the light shines on his sin and reveals that he's wicked. And so he would rather rebel against the light and ignore the fact that the light is there and go on his merry way and live in sin. And this contrast between light and darkness is all through the Scriptures, isn't it? Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When God talked about Paul's mission in Acts 26:18, he said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And the day we got saved, praise God, we were transformed from darkness to light because Jesus said he is the light of the world in John chapter 8. And we came to him and he gave us light. 2 Corinthians 6:14, let's turn there, where again we see this contrast. And this is actually bringing it to the personal level for each of us as we walk through this world. Notice 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Communion. They can't commune with each other. Light and darkness. Well, the world lives in darkness. And the world rebels against the light. So no wonder John said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Because we joined the light, amen, the day we got saved. Jesus called us the light of the world and gave us his light. Well, the world hates the light. We just read that in John 3. The world rebels against the light. The world doesn't want the light. So no wonder they don't want Christians. And to go to 1 Peter 2:9, and again, we'll see what God has done for us. That ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what we're finding, and what Job is trying to explain to his friends, is we are in the midst of a battle between light and darkness. Isn't the devil called what? The prince of darkness or the prince of light? The Bible says, marvel not, my brethren, if he appears as an angel of light, but that's just him trying to counterfeit. Who is Jesus? He's the light of the world. So we have entered into a battle the day we got saved. You see, when you're unsaved, there's no battle, right? You're dark and you live in darkness and you love darkness and it's all good. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, by the way, you're in darkness, and you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved and come to the light. Uh-oh, now we've got a problem. Now we've got to make a decision. We can either admit that we're in the darkness and we can come to the light and get rescued, or we can, as Job says, rebel against the light and say, no, I don't want to know about the light. I'd rather believe in evolution. I'd rather believe there's not a God, but don't tell me about any light because I don't want to hear about it. But the day we got saved, then we entered into this battle. Because now we've got a world full of darkness, but we are light, and it's our job. Did I read 1 Peter 2:9 yet? No. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then if you would look at Philippians 2:15. So we're talking about this battle. You and I now have a mission. Our mission is to, as soldiers, take the light to the people who don't want it. And every now and then you'll find one who the Holy Spirit has softened their heart and they're willing to say, yes, I'm in darkness and I need light. For Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's us. We're to shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word. So when we share the gospel with a lost person, we are now entering the battlefield. It's a spiritual battle between light and darkness. We're offering the light of Jesus Christ through the gospel. The devil has them in darkness and wants them to stay there and doesn't want them to admit that they need the light. He would rather they rebel against the light. So this is huge, this battle that we're in the middle of. So all we can do is trust God, who's the all-powerful one, and share the light and trust God to do the rest. The Holy Spirit will speak to some, and some will say, yes, I'm in the darkness and I need the light. Others will say, I don't want to hear about the light. I want to stay in darkness. Leave me alone. Don't make me responsible for my sin. And back to our passage, Job 24, those that rebel against the light, verse 13, they know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. They are willingly ignorant. And that's the problem. And by the way, they love darkness, don't they? Some of you got saved later in life, like me, and had opportunity to go to certain places where they drink things we're not supposed to drink, right? Have you ever been to one that's super bright inside? Have you ever wondered why they paint all the windows so the sunlight can't get in to those places? Isn't that just odd when you think about it? That if they want to go there after work in the summertime and it's still daylight, when they walk in, they want it to be dark inside, so they make sure the windows are dark. Why? They don't ever stop and ask why, do they? They just know that they feel more comfortable in the darkness. And isn't that what the Bible says here? Verse 16, in the dark they dig through houses which they mark for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. Most thieves do their work in the darkness. The morning is to them as the shadow of death. So they don't even understand it. They just know that's the way it is. They prefer the darkness. And they prefer to do their deeds in the darkness if they can get away with it. They don't understand why that is so, but it is. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll see that the battle is not ours to control, because we're up against a foe that is stronger than we are individually and as a human being. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Look at verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Look at this next phrase. Lest the what? Light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So now we see what the devil's trying to prevent, don't we? It says that he blinds people's minds lest the light should shine. So he does everything in his power to make sure that the light, that they can't let that light shine on them. And what it's saying is, verse 3, it's the gospel. That's where the light comes from. When we share the word of God and the truth of what Jesus did for us at Calvary and how he rescued us from sin, it's like turning on a torch. And right then the devil says, no, don't listen. Distract, whatever. But he tries his best to blind their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into them. So whenever we witness we're entering that spiritual battle, isn't it something that Job, before the Bible was even written, explained this spiritual battle to his friends, that those that rebel against the light and they know not the ways thereof. They don't understand it. They don't know why they're doing it. They don't stop and say, I'm going to rebel against the light. They just know that that's what they want to do, is rebel against the light. Because, as we read in John 3, men love darkness rather than light. That's our tendency. We are drawn to the dark things of this world, to sin. And we have to come to that realization and admit it before we can be saved. So next time you're witnessing to someone, remember that. Remember this lesson that Job taught us. Because they might be living a blessed life, as we read in the first 12 verses. They might be wealthy. They might have power. They might have all kinds of earthly goods. But they're still going to hell. And they still need the light. And, you know, Jesus made it clear that it's hard for a rich man to get saved, yes. And if you check it out and look at mission statistics, what you will find is that the poorer countries have a better response to the gospel than the richer countries. It's just the fact of the way things are, because men tend to trust in their riches. But in the end, it's about the light and the darkness. And I appreciate that Job was able to teach us this, that they rebel against the light, and they know not the ways thereof, nor to abide in the paths thereof. They don't want to have anything to do with the light. So what do we need to do? Take the light. That the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Leave the rest up to God. Amen.